Well, hello, radio friends, and once more I greet you in the wonderful name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another Christ-exalting broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel. And friends, I believe there may be someone listening in today for the very first time, and you believe that it's just a coincidence that you happen to be tuned our way today. Ah, listen, my friends. God has used His sovereign Holy Spirit to have you tune our way today. And even though this may be the first time you've ever heard the truth of God, remember this, it may be the last. Perhaps God knows that you're not prepared for eternity. Perhaps He knows you're about to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're not prepared to meet God. You've never been saved or born again through faith in the blood of Christ. Well, friends, if this is the very first time you've ever heard this program, then please give heed to the Word of God. I'm here today to open the Holy Bible, and I trust you'll stop whatever you're doing and listen to what God has to say to you today. Now, again, I may be speaking to someone, and you've heard this program many, many times, and you don't realize it either, but this may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel. If so, are you prepared to meet God? Have your sins been washed away in the blood of Christ? Well, friend, if not, then you too should listen to God's word. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ told that religious Pharisee, Nicodemus, in John 3 and verse 3, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in 1 Peter 1:23, we're told that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So please, friends, please stay tuned to listen to what God has to say to you today. Now, before we continue with the broadcast, let's listen to our first hymn, and it's a lively old gospel tune entitled, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Have you been to Jesus with the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Well, friends, I hope before this program comes to a close today that every one of you listening to my voice will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into Thy presence today to thank Thee again for the value and the virtue of the shed blood of Christ. And our God, we pray Thy blessing upon Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. And we trust, our God, that Thy Holy Spirit might accompany the word, might clothe it in power, bring conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of any tuned our way who've never been saved and born again. Pluck them as brands from the burning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, let's listen to a lovely old gospel tune entitled The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a
Friends, those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today one verse of scripture as we find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul is writing to the assembly at Corinth, and here's what he says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me repeat the text. This is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today I'd like to talk to you about a verse of scripture which should search the hearts and souls of every professing Christian listening to my voice. It is a verse which has searched me many, many times. And I don't mind telling you that it has caused me some discomfort at times too. In fact, the longer I am saved, the more I search my soul to make sure that I'm really a child of God. My, wouldn't it be a terrible thing to be a professing Christian for many years and then to die and end up in hell? Well, friends, make sure that you're really a born-again child of God. You know, there's so much profession in the world of Christendom today, but so little real possession of Christ. And what a shock it's going to be for people who thought they were saved, and yet when they die, they find themselves weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. And I believe that some of you listening to my voice today, yes, you're very honest, you're very sincere, you're very religious, and you believe that you're saved. But my friend, the one ingredient that is lacking in your profession is conviction of sin. Yes, you have a head knowledge of God's way of salvation, but you've never really been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. Remember this, friend. Conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of your soul as is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, everyone in the world today can be categorically found in either one of two spiritual positions. A person is either a child of God or else they're a child of the devil. And friend, it's vitally important for you to know whose child you are. Yes, you may think you're a child of God, and yet in reality, you may be a child of the devil. I'm sure it must have been quite a shock for those religious Pharisees over in John chapter 8 and verse 44 when the Lord Jesus Christ told them, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Yes, these are solemn words indeed. But again, I remind you that these words were uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ to those whose entire lives were based on trying to keep the Ten Commandments as well as the ceremonial and civil laws of God. Now, perhaps I'm speaking to someone today, and the Holy Spirit of God has directed you to this radio broadcast. He wants you to know that you too have a profession without a possession. Sure, you're religious, and you're considerate, you're compassionate and cultured. But friend, tell me, have you ever been born again? Are you saved? Can you honestly look back to a definite time in your life's experience when you were convicted by the Holy Spirit of God through God's Word? When you knew that you were a lost rebel sinner in God's sight? And when in simple faith, you trusted in the finished work of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, friends, if you can't recall being born again into the family of God, then it's quite obvious that you're still a child of the devil. Yes, you're still serving sin, self, and Satan. And friend, there's no sense in trying to grow in grace if you've never been born again by grace alone. No, it's impossible for a child of God to grow unless he has first of all been born of God. That's God's divine order. That's the salvation of God that he has provided in the person of his Son. You must be born through faith in Jesus Christ into God's family before you can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Now then, there are five facts that I want you to know about those who are saved, those who are truly children of God. Yes, those who are new creatures in and through Christ Jesus. First of all, if you're a new creature, you've entered a new family. Your relationships change. Others who are saved are now your brothers and sisters in Christ. And believe me, this new family or relationship will bring much joy to a child of God. How nice it is to be away from home, perhaps on a vacation or trip, and to make the acquaintance of another child of God, just when you least expect it. Yes, there's a bond of fellowship between Christians, even though they've never met before. There's a bond which unites them closer than any physical relationship. And what is it? Why, they belong to the same spiritual family, and the love of God binds them close to one another. In 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should become," or called, "the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Oh, how I thank God today for the great love which he has bestowed upon me. Yes, for many, many years I was a child of the devil with no desire for the things of God. But thank God, where sin abounded, his grace did much more abound. And friends, one day God put me on my back long enough to take stock of my life. I began to wonder what life was all about. I'd heard the gospel, and I knowingly rebelled against the Holy Spirit of God. But friends, the day I got saved, June the 2nd, 1952, I not only got a glimpse of God's love through reading a gospel tract, but I also got a glimpse of God's wrath. And friend, when God revealed to me the fact that I was really heading for a lost sinner's hell, well, I could resist his love no longer. So right then and there, while a patient in the Presbyterian Hospital in Pittsburgh, I acknowledged my sinnership in God's sight, and with all my heart, I trusted his Son as my own and personal Savior. Yes, I was saved. I was born again by the Spirit of God from above. And I can say, like the Apostle Paul in Titus 3 and 5, that it's not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to God's mercy He saved me. Sinner friend, if you don't remember anything else I say today, remember this. The salvation of your soul is all of God's grace, from beginning to end. Over in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Yes, my friend, only the grace of God can make you a child of God. Now, friend, when you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, you not only enter a new family, but you also experience a new fellowship. You're able to call God your Heavenly Father. You're able to speak to Him in prayer, and you're able to hear Him speak to you through the Bible, the Word of God. Sinner friend, you don't know what fellowship is until you've had fellowship with God. Just imagine being able to speak to God and to acknowledge Him as your Heavenly Father. Now, I know that there are many people today who wouldn't think of going to eat a meal or starting out on a day's work without praying. Listen, friend, you may not know it, but according to this Bible, unless you're saved or born again, your prayers don't go any higher than the ceiling. In Isaiah 59 and 2, we read that your sins and iniquities have separated you from God, and He has hid His face from you so that He will not hear you. No, sinner friend, if you're not a child of God through faith in the blood of His Son, then you have no fellowship with God at all. Your sins are still separating you from God, and He does not hear your prayers. In fact, the only prayer that God does hear from a sinner is that of crying out for mercy, just like the publican of old, as we read in Luke 18 and verse 13. Here's what he said, "God be merciful to me, the sinner." Now, in 1 John 1 and 3, we read that if we're saved, if we're truly a child of God, then our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, we read that God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, sinner friend, only those who are new creatures in Christ Jesus can say of a truth, "What a friend I have in Jesus! All my sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Now then, when a person becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus, he not only enters a new family and experiences a new fellowship, but he also enjoys a new freedom. He enjoys a new freedom. He's no longer shackled by sin. He's no longer subject to the will of Satan. No, if he is truly saved, the Bible says that sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Now let me hasten to say that this doesn't mean that you'll be perfect or without sin. Oh no. There's no such thing as sinless perfection this side of heaven. On the other hand, if a person is really a child of God, he'll have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within him. He'll have the new nature which shall be able to overcome the old sinful nature. And he'll be able, because he is saved, to resist the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now let's remember that a Christian cannot do this in himself, because in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. But because he has partaken of the divine nature, God gives him the power to resist the influence of sin. Over in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 we read, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which ye are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You know, I've heard professing Christians say that they did this or they did that because they were weak and they just couldn't help it. Friend, who's kidding who? God says that if you're really a child of God, yes, if you're really a child of His, you could help it if you wanted to please the Spirit rather than the flesh. Over in John 8 and 36, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." In other words, there's no reason for a born-again Christian to backslide. God has given him the power to resist sin. Yes, a child of God can really enjoy a new freedom once he makes Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. Now, the fourth thing I want you to notice about a new creature in Christ Jesus is the fact that he exercises a new faith. He acknowledges his dependence upon God. He sees the folly of leaning upon his fellow man. He knows that his heavenly Father will supply all his needs according to his riches in glory by and through Christ Jesus. Yes, a sinner who accepts God's Son as his Savior just begins to live. Life becomes a challenge, and that challenge is to reach others with the gospel. The corruptible things such as silver and gold become less important to the real child of God. His values change. Our text says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Friend, as you listen into this broadcast today, can you honestly say before God and in the fear of God that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus? Can you, my friend? Have old things passed away? Have all things become new? Well, I can't judge you, and you can't judge me. But, oh, my friend, make sure you're really saved. The devil delights in delusion and deception, so make sure you're real and not a counterfeit. Because, you know, God knows the true from the false, and he's the one who will separate the wheat from the tares. So please make sure you're really a child of God today. Well, friends, in addition to entering a new family, experiencing a new fellowship, enjoying a new freedom, and exercising a new faith, the new creature in Christ Jesus also expects a new future. Over in Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, we read, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." Ah, my friend, today, right now, as I bring to you this message in the gospel, I'm looking for the coming again of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know that many of you Christians who are suffering spiritually, mentally, and physically today are likewise saying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." But sinner friend, how about you? Are you looking for the second coming of Christ? No, of course not, because it will mean the end of God's day of grace as far as you are concerned. Your chance of being saved or born again will cease to exist when the church, the redeemed of the Lord, are taken home to heaven. So friend, right now, if the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, if you really believe that you're a sinner on your way to hell, please, friend, please look by faith to Calvary's cross and there see the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, dying for your sin. See him as the just one, dying for you, the unjust, so that he might bring you back to God. Friend, whoever you are today and wherever you may be, I plead with you in love for your soul to acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died, and then believe with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, in Jesus' name we come to thee to ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone, for we ask it in his name. Amen. There's no one listening in today who's going to be almost persuaded to become a Christian, because you know almost saved means eternally lost. Now friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast, and if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you have any questions relative to God's way of salvation, feel free to write to me, and I'll be glad to answer your questions according to the Word of God. Now, my address is the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. That address again is the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.